Well, I'm very thankful this morning that God has indeed stood the test of time. And that gives me courage going forward when I look at how the Lord has been faithful in the past, that I know that the mountains that I face today, and it's like, Lord, what are we going to do? Well, He's going to see us through the and over the mountains that we face today. We don't have to be afraid, but the Lord's going to be faithful to us. Desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I guess the message that the Lord has put on my heart this morning is very pastoral. Just very practical. I'd like to challenge and encourage us. The title of the message is Followers of God as Dear Children. Followers of God as Dear Children. In the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, in the eighth verse, and this is something that took place after Adam and Eve sinned. However, we can extrapolate just a little bit from the Scripture without doing it injustice, I think. It said they heard the voice, talking about Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So it almost intonates that there had been a practice of Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the evening. So it's almost time, it's time for our daily walk. And in the cool of the evening, to me personally, there's a feeling of closeness and warmth and companionship. It was more than just a casual encounter. It was more than just, oh, happenstance, but it was almost as if God was keeping an appointment. And I know I'm extrapolating a little bit here, but it's almost as if they had an appointment that they were out for their daily walk. That, hey, we've been walking together every evening at kind of the cool, you know, the sun starts going down, and God and Adam and Eve could just have a nice time of not talking about problems and issues, but just companionship. And that feeling of warmth and oneness and unity that there was. And we know that Adam and Eve broke that companionship because of their disobedience. But there's something about that that draws. Now, the Scripture says that Noah walked with God. And it says Enoch walked with God. And in those situations, it was speaking spiritually. That they were keeping God's commands, that they were serving the Lord, and they were walking in unity with the Lord. That is God's desire and His purpose for each one of us here this morning. God wants to walk with you. And I want to encourage you in your daily life to walk with God. Be followers of God. And we'll go ahead and turn to our text this morning in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5. The Scripture says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers of God. That word follower actually means to imitate. All right? Be imitators of God. But I think about what the word walking with God is as dear children, being a follower of Him, is where God goes, I go. When He goes this way, I'm going to go that way. Do you know there's something that warms my heart, and every once in a while I'll be in a store, a parking lot, or somewhere, and I'll see a mom or dad holding the hand of their child. To me, that is just a beautiful picture. I love to see that. And I also love to see it when the children are a little bit older and they're just walking hand in hand with their mom or dad. It's not because, oh, you're so little, I need to hold your hand. But it's companionship. But you know, children oftentimes when they're little, sometimes they'll hold their hand of their parent, but they get a little bit older and it's like, I want to do it myself. I don't want to hold your hand. And they'll push the limits and walk as far away from as they can. Or you go into the store together and used to, or they were right next to you when they're little and they want to be with mom and dad. It's like they're slowing down, getting as far, you know, just kind of, I'm doing my own thing here. The Lord wants us to walk with Him. In India, there is a practice that at least used to more, that the wife would walk about 10 paces behind her husband. Okay? So the husband would be walking and the wife would be following behind. So we ask one of the brothers from India, or one of my family members did, ask a brother from India, well, what do you do if your wife gets up beside you? He says, get back, get back. Well, I don't want my wife to get back. There have been times we'll be walking and it kind of runs in her family sometimes, I think. But they get going. It's like, wait, if you wait, I'll go with you. If you'll just hold up a minute, I'll walk with you. Do you know that the Lord wants us to walk with Him? He doesn't want us to get ahead of Him. He doesn't want us to drag behind. Children, I know sometimes in young people you think, well, I'm too embarrassed to be, I'm embarrassed to hold my parents' hand. You know, if we walked into church this morning, I reached over there and grabbed Vanessa's hand, I dare say she'd be getting a little antsy, you know, kind of, did anybody see? Do you know that the Lord doesn't want us to be embarrassed to walk with Him? That this is my Heavenly Father. And the way that the Lord showed us and taught us to live, He wants us to be entreated this morning to walk that way and walk with Him, be a follower of God. It's not a pleasant experience for a parent to have to try to corral their children. Have you ever seen parents just trying, no, come on, get this way. Now stand right here. Now don't move. And then they go and their children are just pushing. Do you know that sometimes people do that with God? It's like we know what God wants, but there are some people, it seems like they're always wanting to just kind of do it their own way. They're just kind of wanting to put their own mark on it. I don't want to be that kind of a child to the Lord. I want to be a compliant child. I want to be a son of God that the Lord can just look down and say, thank you for walking beside me. Thank you for imitating me and following me in my steps. That's what the Lord wants of us this week, this life. But, you know, if we're going to live a life for God, it means I'm going to have to live a day for God. And as we look into a little bit more of the Scripture, that's my challenge to you this morning. Living a life for God is about walking daily with the Lord. Following the Lord every single day in our temptations. Anybody have any temptations this week? Be a follower of God. What would God do? What would Jesus do? Anybody have any frustrations this week? Lord, what would you do? Yeah, I know what He would do. We've got a whole book full of what He did. Okay, Lord, so help me then. Help me to be a follower of You as a dear child. Anybody have any hurts this week? Someone say something that just really crossed you the wrong way. And if you let it, it could have done damage. But Lord, how did You teach me to respond to those things? Just let it go. Don't let it. Just let it go and give it to the Lord, because that's what He taught us. And that's what the Lord wants us from us every single day. In your relationships with people, Lord, help me to be a follower of You. Follow You, imitate You. Follow Your example as a dear child. The Scripture says is to be an imitator, a follower of God. In action, in the words that we speak, in the way that we speak them, people are imitating something. Have you ever heard someone say, I want to be like so-and-so? I remember you go into the store, I guess they still do it, but you go into the stores, especially in the children's section, they try to use famous people to advertise certain clotheslines, okay? So I remember, it's just in my mind, I think it was, well, I'll just be specific, it doesn't matter. I think it was Britney Spears, if I'm not mistaken. I remember, or no, there was someone else at that same place, and they were using her as an icon of purity, okay? They're trying to. We know how that worked out. But it didn't, but they were using her to advertise with all of the flashy clothes and a lot of immodesty as well. But they were trying to appeal to children and young people when they went in shopping for clothes to think, oh, if I buy these clothes, I will be like her. You go into the young men's section and I don't even know who all the big basketball stars are today. But, you know, used to, you know, Magic Johnson and, you know, people like that. And you go, you know, Kareem Abdul, anyway, whatever. Yeah, but you go in there and I know those are when I was younger. But today I don't know who they all are. But they would use them. You go in and think, oh, I'll buy clothes because there's a picture of them in the clothes section, wearing those clothes, as if I wear that, I'm going to be able to play basketball a little bit better or something. You know, you see people playing basketball with a jersey number of someone that they really like. I'll tell you, you can put any number you want on my jersey, and it's not going to make a lot of difference in how many times I get the ball through the hoop. But the point is, they are drawing on something to be an imitator. The Lord wants us to look at Him and the life of His Son Jesus and say, I want to be like that. I want to follow that example in the way I talk, in my attitudes, yes, in my frustrations, in my temptations, in the things that bring hurt. Lord, I want to follow Your example. And He said, as dear children. That word dear means as loved. Do you know we're loved this morning? God loves you. And He's saying, you know what, be a follower of me. There is nothing that brings, I don't think anything brings more grief to a parent's heart. Young people, listen now. There's nothing that brings more grief to a parent's heart than to have a child that is disobedient and rebellious and noncompliant. It's so grievous because it's like, I love you. I've given you all of this. I provided you. I've taught you. I set an example before you, and yet you choose to push against that and go a different direction. That's how God felt when He looked on the children of Israel. He said, I gave you the best. He said, I planted the choicest vines. I put a hedge of protection around you. And He said, and still wild grapes grew up. And God said, what more could have I done for you? Now, if there was ever a perfect father, wasn't it God? And sometimes we as parents say, what more could have I done? I guess I should have done this and should have done that. And yet God Himself said, I gave you everything I could, but He still gave everybody the power of choice. You can give the best, and a child can still choose to turn away from it. So this passage here, He's saying, you're loved. Be a follower of God as dear children. And I think about this, and this is taking a very modern definition of dear. But have you ever seen children that are loved not act so dear? I want the Lord to look on me, and I know He loves me, but I want to be a dear child. I want to act like it. I want the Lord to know by the way that we conduct ourselves that that we're acting like we know we're loved. We know we're provided for this morning. He went on to say then, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. This week, I want to challenge you to walk in love as Christ, as God has loved us. And moving down to verse 8, He said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as we walk in love and are imitators of Christ, practically this week, practically, let's prove what's acceptable to the Lord. So husbands and wives, the way you treat your companion, let it be that that's what's acceptable to the Lord. That if the Lord said, how does the Lord want you, what kind of husband or what kind of wife does the Lord want you to be? It's like I'm walking in love. This is the way the Lord wants me to be. As a child, as a young person, what kind of a child does the Lord want you to be? Set an example for people and prove what is acceptable to the Lord. This is what it means to be a young person that's serving the Lord. And part of it is children and young people, if you love the Lord, one of the first and the best things you can do is to obey your parents. That is proving to the Lord that you love Him by the way that you treat your parents with respect, even if you disagree, that you honor the authority of your mom and dad. That's one of the greatest things you can do. Walk in love. Be a follower of God as dear children. This passage of Scripture, chapter 5, is as many other passages, it's a follow-up of what was taught in chapter 4, okay? So in chapter 4 here, I just want to touch on a few highlights briefly. Verse 1, He says, I beseech you therefore that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We're called to be saints. We say we're Christians, which means Christ-like. So are we walking that way? How have we done this week? Have we been like Christ? Have our words, the way we've talked about people, the way we have talked about those that have hurt us, the way that we have handled things, was it like Christ? Did we handle it right? He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So, be a follower of God. How's your humility been this week? How's your meekness been? Why do we need long-suffering? Do you realize we need long-suffering because there are going to be people that don't do things like they should, when they should, and how they should? Mm-hmm. So, he said, with long-suffering. So, Lord, excuse me. How do you want me to respond here? Lord, can you fine-tune my attitude that I can really have the mind of Christ here and approach this with the long-suffering of the Lord? He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you know endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, that starts in your home and it goes out from there? It goes out to relationships that we have with people. And do you know why he said to endeavor to keep the unity? Because unity does not happen by itself. Yes. I've just been made aware of that. I've just been thinking about that. And I was talking to Renee about it this morning a little bit. But unity does not always come easily. Endeavoring to keep the unity means that we're going to have to forgive people for what they do that they shouldn't have done to maintain relationship is just to let it go for the purpose of a higher cause, and that's the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. So husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, endeavor. That's where it starts, in the congregation, in your workplace. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that everybody in your life can always do everything that they should. But how many, do you know some of the loneliest people are those that take a stand against all injustice in their life? Have you noticed that? I remember one of the pop psychologists that's on the radio. They didn't talk to their mother for years and years and years. And I thought, this is someone that's trying to tell everybody else how to act. And they're really quick to tell people to cut people out of their life. Do you realize how many people would have you cut out of your life if you were to cut people off that had hurt you and said things and done things that flat out, they just shouldn't have done it, and you cut them off? How many friends would you have? How many family members would you have a relationship with? Not many, right? That means that there is a higher call, and that means it's going to take forgiving one another. It's going to take humbling ourselves and just letting things go, because if you addressed every problem with every person in your life that ever happened, you would have no relationship with. If you've done something, apologize for it. Humble yourself. But I have found that not everybody's willing to apologize when they ought to. So what are we going to do with that? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And in the home, when your husband or your wife or your children or your parents, maybe they don't do something, you think, is it worth? Has anybody ever had a rough day? I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but I'm just talking where you live. Has anybody had kind of one of those tense days with your companion, those of you that are married? Just think a little, not just real on the same plane. Maybe once or twice. Here's the thing. Go back to what caused that. And if you need to humble your heart, humble your heart, okay? I don't like it when people just brush things under, oh, we're moving on. If you did something, fix it. However, you can't cause everybody else to fix things they need to fix. So then go back to the root cause and say, is what I perceived, see, perception has something to do with this too. My perceived them having done this wrong, is it worth breaking a relationship over? So some of you all may have seen this. I scrolled through something this week and I saw this comment that said, and I may not get it quite right, it said, it's some people, is it really just a bad day or how you handled 5 minutes of a bad, or a, how you handled 5 minutes, a bad 5 minutes? people say, oh, I had a bad day today. Are you talking about like 5 minutes was kind of rough? But you chose to let that 5 minutes affect your whole day. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. There is a higher call than, so your companion, your children, someone in the congregation, someone you work with does something or says something that frankly you perceive that they were wrong and they didn't handle it, there is a higher call. And some things just let go and follow God with His love and meekness, long-suffering. Verse 25, He said, put away lying. You know, that's part of basic Christianity is telling the truth at all times. Telling the truth, not lying. I'm not talking about, well, it's 9 o'clock and then feeling beat up about it because it's 8:57 or 8:59. Not talking about the devil taking advantage here. But I'm saying when there is an intent to deceive, we lay those things aside when we begin following Christ. Laying aside lying. Young people and children, I want to encourage you with something. Lying is a moral transgression. Okay? Lying is more than just, well, I should have responded with a little more patience. Lying is a choice that I'm going to intentionally tell my parents something that I know is not true. Lying is sin. It's wrong because it tears down trust. And I've seen young people and children lie to their parents and then something else happens. Their parents are sitting there questioning. It's like, I told you no. Why don't you believe me? Because last time you insisted the same way that it was this way and it wasn't true. I've seen, most of us have part of raising children is teaching them to tell the truth. Well, I've seen parents never think their children would ever lie, and I knew the children were lying to their parents. I knew exactly, and the parents, oh, little Johnny didn't do that. It's like, yeah, he actually did, but you just be quiet about it. It's like they'll find out in their own time that Johnny really did what they were told he did. But do you realize that telling the truth is, it's so vital to our Christian experience. It's so vital. In young people, there may be sometimes that you mess up. Children, sometimes you break the window and you put one of the children out at the chapel. I appreciate it. He put some holes in the wall. He was carrying stuff and wasn't being careful, and he came up and I put a hole in the wall. I appreciate that he owned it. He came to me the next day and said, I put a hole in the wall. I said, oh, it's okay. You already told me. Well, this was a different one. Well, but do you know, at least he was being honest. At least he was doing what he knew to do to be open about it. And that was meaningful. I appreciate it. I mean, I would have preferred there not to be a hole in the wall, but at least he didn't cover it up. Do you know the Lord, so young people, there's going to be times that you face things that it's really embarrassing to be honest. Okay? But do you realize that you will maintain relationship with your parents so much better if you'll just be open, say, you know what? Yeah, I did it. Even if there's some discipline and correction that takes place from it, you will be so much further along to always walk in truth. Be a follower of God as dear children. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Following Christ is so much more than the outside, okay? Sometimes people say, oh, look at them, the way they're dressed, and you can spot someone that believes in at least some semblance of holiness, right? By the way they dress, you just can. But do you realize that being a follower of God goes way beyond the outside? It's more about our conduct. It's more about our words. It's more about our attitudes. It's more about how we are willing to relate and talk with people. And let's do it as dear children. The third John chapter, or 1 in the 4th verse, says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, there's nothing that brings greater joy to a parent's heart than a child that is walking in truth. And it's the same way with the Lord. He's looking on us this morning and He's saying, would you be a follower of me? Be a follower of God. Jesus came and He left us an example that we should follow in His steps who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he reviled not again, but committed himself unto the one that judges righteously. Let's follow in the steps of Jesus. If you're faced with frustrations and temptations and things happen and people do things and personally there's things that should I do this or that, let's just stop and say, Lord, what? If I were to imitate your example, what would I do? And sometimes we see we fall a little bit short and we say, Lord, I don't want to respond the way I'm feeling. So Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to be more like you, that I could be a follower of God and that I would have that fruit of the Spirit? Because yesterday is gone. We can't change yesterday. And tomorrow's not here yet, but we have today. We have today to be a follower of God. We have today to keep our priorities. Sometimes people talk about their priorities and when they're going to put the Lord first. I've got some things I need to do today, but tomorrow, we're supposed to be followers of God as your children today. Lord, I'm going to put you first today in my life. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Well, maybe tomorrow I'm going to have time for worship. Tomorrow I'm going to have time to pray. But tomorrow's not here. Lord, help me today to be a follower of God. Watch and pray, the Scripture says, that ye enter not into temptation. When? It's today. Today is when we're to follow Christ. So when we're tempted, Lord, help me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. I plan to take up my cross tomorrow. I took it up yesterday, but that doesn't help me today. So today, Lord, help me to follow your example. There's a cross the Lord has for you to bear today. This is not just a Sunday experience. You get the message this morning? It's not just a Sunday experience. It's how we're living through the week that He's wanting us to be a follower of God. As dear children, with our words, with our conduct, finding grace for the frustrations of life, and with myself even, our perspective of self. Have you ever beaten yourself up kind of by the way you look at yourself and think about yourself? I'm just not good enough and I just can't ever do this. Do you realize that a follower of God is a dear child? I'm a child of God. The Lord loves me. He cares about me. So He wants us to have a positive perspective even about ourselves as we follow Him as dear children. And if we fall short, acknowledge it. The Lord gives us another opportunity. And in closing, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to what? To the glory of God. Whatever you do today, we're going to dismiss this service and we're going to go. Some of you probably go eat. Some of you will head home. Some of you will go to work. Some of you will go home and someone in your household might do something that frustrates you. And if they don't today, they will tomorrow. There's going to be someone in the congregation that's not going to be doing what you think they ought to be doing. There's going to be someone maybe at your work or at school or in your home that's going to say something that just boggles your mind. Why would they say that? But what our call is to be a follower of God as dear children, imitating Him in love, in mercy, in long-suffering, walking as Christ loved, and the grace of God will be with us, as that is our purpose, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.